You know, I think there's a plan and a purpose for everything, and even those things I don't understand. You agree with that? There's things that we just don't get. I mean, I've gone through things in my life, and in this right now, what we're going through, I don't understand it. But God does. You know, God knows what's going on, and I don't think God expects us to understand everything. He just wants us to be faithful. He just wants us to say, okay, God, whatever's going on, I don't get it, but I know that you see the whole picture because you're God, right? That's hard for us to do sometimes. But I think that's what God expects us to do. And, you know, He expects us. So we heard a message yesterday, and I loved it because it's like, you know, what we go through, you know, we got to just continue doing life. Life goes on, right? No matter what's going on around us, we still have to live. That was a good message. But it reminded me, you know, that as a church, as a person that believes in a God Almighty, that even during all these hard times and the things that we don't understand, He still expects me to be a Christian man. He still expects me to live a holy life. And we've been talking about holiness. And what does it mean to be holy? And, you know, there's this thing in our mind when you think about what holy is. Let me explain it in this perspective. What is a holy life? What does that mean? What is a holy life? It means living in the presence of God Almighty, is really what it means. So here, you remember Moses in the Bible, right? You remember who Moses is? Okay. So Moses, you know, he was raised in Egypt, but then, you know, he got mad at a guy and killed him, and so he had to leave, and so he ends up in the wilderness for a long time, and he's raising sheep, and he got married, and he's got a family, you know, and he's got a different life over here, and he's, you know, and I can imagine for years and years he shepherded these sheep up through the hills and through the mountains. And then one day, you know, after many, many years now that he's probably traveled through this same area, all of a sudden he sees this bush that's burning and is not being consumed. And it catches his attention like it would, I think, any of us. We'd like, what's that? And so he goes and he sees this bush. And when he approaches this bush, he hears God's voice. And God says, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. Now, what made that ground holy? Because it wasn't holy before. Moses had probably walked through that same area many times before, maybe even across that exact same place where he was standing. But what made that ground holy then is the presence of God. Amen. So if you want to know what living a holy life is, it means living in the presence of God Almighty. How do we do that? Well, the Bible tells us, it gives us some scriptures, many scriptures that guide and lead us into good habits in living a holy life and staying close to God. And so these are things that we can develop in our life. And I say that word develop because a lot of times they don't come overnight. You just don't get it overnight, right? A lot, you know, we come to the altar, we get saved, and we think, okay, now we're holy, we're good to go. It just doesn't always work. We still got stuff to work through, right? We still got stuff. We got things that we got to work out. And so we start to develop these habits in our life that keep us close to God. So if you have your Bibles and you want to read along with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. You know, here in the Bible, the verbs used with each of these habits is present tense. It indicates that all these things are to be continued, not only today, but for the future. It's supposed to be a regular part of our daily lives. So we're going to look at these habits this morning. First, it's be joyful. Be joyful. Verse 16 says, rejoice always. Man, is that easy to do? We can rejoice when our favorite football team wins the game. Man, we can rejoice when that happens, right? But what happens when they lose? What happens when our life is going well and we get the big fat bonus paycheck that we were looking for, but what happens when the bills come in and we don't have the money to pay it? Can we still rejoice then? Scripture says, rejoice always. Be cheerful no matter what. Be joyful always. You know, that Greek word joyful, it's also translated as cheerful. But it also really denotes the ability to be peaceful and calm, even when it's not. Did you know that joy is not dependent upon our circumstances? Happiness is. Happiness is what's going on around us. I've heard said many times, happiness is overrated. I've had people tell me that. Because sometimes it just doesn't seem like we can be happy because everything else around us is not. But we can have joy in our hearts because we know God. Amen? We can choose that. Joy is a chosen state of being, and we can choose to be joyful. You know, but to be holy people, if we are holy people, we're joyful people. I've preached this before. Holy people are joyful people. Why? Because they know God. And they trust God because they know that this is all this junk going on around us is just the junk going on around us. You know, I had a thought. I remember, you know, I grew up, we raised cattle. And, you know, sometimes we'd have to get out in the barn lot this time of year, especially when it wasn't frozen. And sometimes the muck around the feeding areas would get, man, I'm telling you, the manure would get this deep. So you had to wear long boots. It kept you out of the muck, right? That's what living a holy life is. God gives us these long mud boots to walk around in this muck, the life that we live in, so that we can stay out of it, but we can choose to take them off and walk in it. That's pretty nasty. I've had that before. I've chased cows. We used to have to sometimes run them into the pens, and you'd be running out across the barn lot, and all of a sudden your boot would get sucked into the mud, and next thing you off, the next two steps is bare sock into the manure. It's not a very pleasant feeling. And sometimes that's the way we are. I mean, sometimes we're doing good and we got the mud boots on and we're living life and God is protecting us from all the garbage around us, the muck, the manure in this world. But sometimes that foot gets hung up and we lose that boot and we take a couple steps in the muck. But what do? We don't just leave it on us, do we? Wash it off, clean it off, and slip that boot back on. God says, I got you. I'm always there. Just grab that boot and put it back on. You know, we can rejoice always. We can be cheerful. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, holy people allow their sanctified mind to keep them inspired when the rough times come. We as holy people keep our minds focused on things above and not the nasty things around us. Because there's a lot of nasty things around us. We know what joy is. You know, that's not to say that we've got to ignore sadness and sorrow, because we have pain in our heart this morning for our loved ones that are gone. We're sad over that. But we are to live knowing that God will walk with us no matter what happens in our lives. Amen. No matter what happens in our lives, He is there in the good times and He is there in the bad times and He is there no matter what. He walks with us. I remember the Scripture says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why did He say that? Because He said, God is with me wherever I go, and even when I'm walking through the bad times, God's there too. Amen? He understood that. David understood that. People who are close to God, people who are walking in the presence of God, understands that. It's not a limited warranty. It's not just here today and gone tomorrow. He says, I'll be with you always. That's what He's told His disciples when He left. When He ascended, He said, I'll be with you always. Always. That's a big word, isn't it? Just like when I said, always rejoice. Rejoice always. That's a big word. I can always know that God is with me, no matter what my circumstances are. I hope you can too this morning. Second good habit it mentions here in 1 Thessalonians is verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Now, holy people pray. Jesus is the center of our lives, and we have to bathe our goals and our plans and our dreams in prayer. Every part of our life we need to give it to God in prayer. We need to talk to God about everything. We need to talk to God about the little stuff and talk to God about the big stuff. And man, God is, He's my best friend. Amen? I mean, I can talk to Him about stuff I can't talk to my wife about. I'm serious. He's there for me. It's not a habit that is developed overnight, though. Praying's not always easy. We have so many distractions around us, and I'm telling you, you know, even when we can get quiet without the dog bothering you and, you know, everything around us going on, you know, sometimes when I get alone and, you know, even myself, I sit down and when it's really quiet, that's when I start thinking about all the stuff I haven't done. Well, did you do this? Well, you need to do this. And then there's all these other thoughts that come into my mind. And the next thing you know, it's like, wait a second, I was going to pray. Because I was thinking about all this other junk. And so it takes me, you know, I have to just start shutting down. You know, it's like closing all your apps. You know, you go through and you close this app and you close this app and you close this app. And finally you get down, there's no more apps. Now, okay, now I can pray. I can focus. Uh, I said, don't be discouraged. You know, praying's hard work sometimes. Distractions will come, but praying should be thanking God and asking God and praising God and listening to God in a continuous conversation. Because, you know, I can praise God when I'm driving down the road. I can praise God when I'm walking, and, you know, I can praise God with my eyes closed, on my knees, or standing up and walking down. I can talk to God anywhere, at any time. Amen? That's why it says pray without ceasing, because there's this continual conversation with, Lord, be with me in this situation. 5 minutes later, Lord, be with me in this situation. It may not be big deals, but, you know, I need God to help me through everything. You know, I need Him. This just old common redneck boy needs God for everything. I think this is one of the most important holy habits that we can really develop, because it draws us closer to that relationship. You know, in order to have a best friend, you got to know who they are. Really? Third thing I find here is in verse 18. It says, "In everything give thanks." There's that word, everything. That's one of them big words, like always, isn't it? Everything. So we got to rejoice always, and we got to give thanks in everything. But highlight that word "in everything." The Bible doesn't say here "for everything," because I'm not thankful for the loss of a loved one so much. But I can give thanks because I know my loved one is in a better place and they're with Jesus right now. Amen? So in the big picture, I can be thankful for that. To be thankful in all circumstances is to see the big picture, to be aware that God is in control, and to trust Him even when bad things happen around us. You know, there was a story that I heard from a man one time that this man was constantly a positive attitude, and everybody knew he was positive attitude about everything. I like people like that. He was positive about anything and everything, and there was a day that the weather was extremely miserable, and it was raining, and it was cold, and the wind was blowing, and it was overcast, and it was gloomy. And so at church, they asked him to open with prayer. And here's what he said. He started out by saying, "Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that all days are not like this day." Amen? That's positive, isn't it? You know, we're to give thanks in everything. The next one is keep God's Spirit burning. Amen. I think this is an important one too. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, verse 19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Amen. Staying on fire for God is not always easy though. But it's easy if you rejoice always, you pray without ceasing, and you give thanks in everything. That makes it easier. That's why Paul is telling us, this is important habits to develop. If I'm always rejoicing, and if I'm always praying, if I'm always giving thanks, the Holy Spirit will be more at work in my life. Amen? Have you ever met anyone who was, I call them the Holy Spirit volunteer fire department? Because it seems like a person gets on fire for God, and man, they've got this new vision, and God's working in their life, and they're so excited, but yet there's somebody who wants to come and just douse the flames. There's those people that they don't like for you to be happy. I don't know why, but it just seems like that's who they are. They belong to that Holy Spirit volunteer fire department. They like to put out the flames. You know what I'm talking about. But those people are always going to be there carrying that bucket around waiting. That's why we need to develop these habits and get close to God. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Keep the fire burning. You know, how do you do that? Well, let me tell you, then the next one in Scripture, it says, listen to what God has to say. That's pretty important, isn't it? It's what it says. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20. It says, do not despise prophetic utterances. It says, God's word. Don't despise what God has revealed. Holy people, I'm telling you, I love the word of God. Amen? I love the word of God. I love to hear it taught. I love to hear it preached, just like yesterday. Man, the closing speaker yesterday, man, he preached a beautiful message. Man, it just inspired me. It encouraged me. I've heard a lot of preaching in my life. I love to hear good preaching. Amen? I hope one day you guys get to hear it. And I love to hear good preaching. It inspires and encourages me. I love to hear somebody teach good lessons. I want to know as much about God as I can. I like to study God's Word. And you need to study God's Word as well so that you know that what I'm saying is correct. Or whoever else you're listening to is correct. It's important. There is accountability in that. I trust the Word of God. I trust that it's true. I trust that the Word of God has authority in my life. You know, Paul's not addressing atheists. He's not addressing non-believers or agnostics. He's addressing people in the church. He's addressing us, saying, listen, you guys develop these habits. This is something, it's good for you to do. You develop these habits and it'll help you in your life. So don't despise the Word of God. Read your Bible, but pay attention. You know, I've heard it said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen? That's good. That could be a good song. You know, my attitude is God said it, that settles it. But why do I have this attitude? Sometimes, you know, we don't want to hear it. I believe that God's Word has authority, but sometimes we don't want to hear it and we don't want to obey it because it doesn't follow along with us, our way of thinking. Because it affects who we are, right? We like our lifestyle. We like what we're doing. The Bible says this, well, it's got to say something different somewhere else, so let me find it. That's good. You search for it. Number six is test everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, but examine everything carefully. We have to examine everything carefully. This but means, that is a phrase that's connected to the previous, don't despise what God has revealed, but examine everything carefully. We don't treat the Word of God with contempt, right? But we are to test everything. There's some things that people say that just ain't true. Amen? I mean, there's some things I've heard that just aren't true. I've heard a lot of speakers say things that were incorrect. And so we have to look at those things. You know, I've heard people prophesy about things and say, well, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And guess what? Sometimes it does happen, and praise God, you know, if it's God, it will happen. But if it's not, there were people saying that President Trump was going to win the election. And I mean, there was all kinds of things. You guys heard it. I mean, there was people coming out. I prophesied. I saw this. This was going to happen. Let me tell you, I mean, some of that stuff is just a bunch of garbage. All right? I'm not calling out any one individual. I'm just saying we got to be careful is what I'm saying. When we listen to stuff or when we hear stuff, we got to test everything to see if it's true or if it's right or if it's correct. Now, do I believe in prophetic word? Absolutely, because the Bible says it. Paul even said, I would rather you prophesy, because there was a church that was focused on speaking in tongues and it was disruptive and people didn't understand it. People outside would come to the church. They thought they were nuts. They couldn't understand a word that they said. And he said, man, you guys are causing more confusion. Nobody knows what you're talking about. He said, I can speak with all these different languages. I can even speak to God. Can you imagine that? He said, I can even speak to God. But he said, I would rather you prophesy than any of that, because then you'd know what's going on. You'd understand things a little better. We're going to get into that here in a minute. So examine everything. You know, God's truth is absolute and God's truth has authority, but test everything that a person says, and if it's right, go along with it. But if it's not right with the word, then don't go along with it. We got to hold on to what is right and what is true. And let me tell you, there's some good teachers out there. There's some good teachers out there. There's some good stuff. There's some great books out there that teach right doctrine. So hang on to what is good. 1 Thessalonians verse 21. Hold fast to that which is good, is what it says. Test everything that is said to be sure is true, and if it is, then accept it. It's another translation. Hold fast and accept it. I heard someone say, it doesn't matter what you believe. Have you ever heard that before? It doesn't matter what you believe. We're all going to the same place anyway. Well, let me tell you, that's not all true, because there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ, and that's just what the Word says. Okay? That's not what I say. That's what the Word says. The Bible says there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's the only way to heaven. That has nothing to do with denominational views. That's just what the Word says. It does matter what you believe, and it does matter what you hold on to. You know, here's an experiment for that. You go out on the lake in a boat, you take two items with you. You take a rock and a life preserver. Okay? You choose which one you want to hold on to and jump out into the lake. One of them's going to save your life. And one of them's going to take you to the bottom and you're going to drown, right? So it makes sense to hold on to something, right, that is good. Hold on to something that will save your life. And that's what the Word of God does. Amen? That's what the Word of God does. It saves your life. So hold on to it. It can change your life. What you believe can save your life. In John 1:12, it says, as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in His name. So look at the truth and examine everything, and once you have found it, hold on to it and don't let it go. So the last thing I want to talk about this morning is stay away from evil. Man, that's a big one, because that seems to be all around us right now. Everywhere you go, I see it. Abstain from every form of evil. Verse 22. Avoiding evil It's not nothing new. I mean, it's especially for those that are trying to please God. God is pure and God is holy and God hates that which is evil. God hates that which is wicked and God hates that which is sinful. That is why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, keep away from every kind of evil. You know, God's people act godly because we're supposed to, right? Just because we're supposed to. Seek and follow with godly behavior. What's that look like? We're to develop holy habits. Follow. You know, I mean, what's that look like? What does a holy person look like? Do I look different if I'm holy or unholy? I mean, I don't think I look different, right? If I'm walking in the Spirit or not walking in the Spirit, I'm probably going to look on the outside the same. But what's inside of me is way different. Amen? But it does lead me to do things that are right with God. Psalms 1 says, how blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves don't wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You know, God has called us to be a holy people, and a holy people develop holy habits. And so what are you going to do this week when you leave from here and the world confronts you and face to face with whatever is going to happen or whatever you're going to do this week? What are you going to do? God tells us to rejoice always and pray without ceasing and give thanks in everything. Don't quench your spirit and don't despise God's word. Examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good and abstain from evil. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit stay close to us this week. Lord, let us walk in your presence. Lord, let us walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Lord, let us stay true to you. Lord, let us be a reflection of who you are. Lord, we were made in your image, but we are not you. We are not God. We are just a mirrored reflection of you. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, and I thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, let us be strong in our faith, and let us live our lives with joy and always being thankful and always praising you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.